The first reading is from 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 11 to 13. The Lord appears to Elijah. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Thanksgiving and prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be heard over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your invitation, your instruction to pray, for your decision to come and be with us. Help us, God, to hear your voice this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. So we've been going through this series on prayer. We started with talking a bit about why we pray, and the fact that Jesus and all of the writers of the scripture never feel the need to justify prayer. They just assume we're going to do it, and then they give us instructions on how. And then last week we talked about inward prayer, about prayer that's focused on transforming ourselves. This week we're thinking about upward prayer, about how we build a more intimate relationship with God through the way that we pray. Of course, that's not the only way that we build relationship with God, but it's one of the ways we are given. And I struggled a bit this week, because I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed by the state of the world right now. It's really easy to hear about all the awful things that are happening. And for me, it's awful to hear about things bad that are happening on the other side of the world, but there's a little bit of a distance there. There's a little bit of a, I don't know. For me, I find it easier to hear those stories and to process them. But I've been to Minneapolis, and the people there are really not very different from the people in Ottawa. The city is not that different in many ways from our cities. And to hear now about two people who have been killed by people who are supposed to be representing them and keeping them safe is awful. When I hear these stories, I am grateful to be living in Canada, in a city where I still feel safe to walk around. I'm disturbed not just by the people in authority that are abusing their authority for violence, but the Christians who are defending them, who are somehow looking at the same Bible I do and think that what's happening is okay, and using Jesus as a way to say it's okay. That's awful to me. And I'm also inspired by the church leaders and the neighbors who are standing up and saying, this is not okay. Who are choosing to sing spiritual hymns of resistance in front of ICE agents. Who are standing outside and saying, we are not going to allow this to go unremarked or unchallenged. And maybe I feel a little bit guilty that I'm not doing those things. People are giving their lives, quite literally, for this. And sometimes I feel a bit helpless. Because what do I do from Ottawa? It's not my country. It's not my city. I am not somebody who has a lot of influence that can change what is happening. So what do I do? And is it right to continue on this series about prayer when so much injustice is happening? Should I throw out my plan and preach a different sermon? We're actually starting a Bible study again, a week Tuesday. And this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about biblical responses to injustice. So if this is something that you want to think a little more about, I encourage you to join us on Tuesdays at 7 on Zoom, where we are going to be looking at how people respond to these kinds of issues. But then I read again the story of Elijah. Elijah's having a rough time, but also a time of great celebration. He has just defeated 450 Baal prophets in a contest of whose God was more powerful. And Yahweh won without really any contest. There was no comparison. But that made Queen Jezebel so angry, she made a vow that Elijah would not survive. And Elijah was forced to flee. Talk about injustice. Talk about danger, persecution. And do you see what Elijah does? Elijah goes to Horeb, where Moses met God in the burning bush. And he looks for God's presence. And Elijah, maybe understandably, is expecting God to show up in a big way. I mean, he just called down fire from the heavens. So hot, it didn't just burn up the sacrifice, it burnt up the very stones that the sacrifice was on. And so Elijah thinks God's going to make a big show for him. But he doesn't show up in the wind or the earthquake or the fire. He shows up, and most of our translations say, as a gentle whisper. But that Hebrew word, demama, it actually means silence. Not just a very quiet, and not just any silence, but that silence that's full of expectation, anticipating God will arrive. And God does. God shows up in that moment where Elijah doesn't know what to do, where he feels overwhelmed. He shows up in the stillness. And God offers Elijah help. Other leaders who are going to come alongside him to help him in the work God has tasked him to do. But before that, he simply appears. And that's important for us to remember in a world that feels like too much at times, is that it is okay, it is not selfish to stop and want to seek God's presence. In fact, it's necessary. It's what we need to do. It's what Jesus does in his most difficult times. It's what Elijah does. It's what Moses does. He cries out in frustration when the people get too much. And it's what Paul does when he is arrested and is left with nothing but writing letters. I was going to say a lot more about Ephesians, but I want to give us some time to actually allow God's presence this morning. We're going to try something at the end of this that may make you uncomfortable, and that's okay, but I hope it brings you encouragement. But I do want to say one thing. In verse 18, Paul writes, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you." And I don't want us to miss that word enlightened, because we know that means, you know, increase in knowledge, increase in understanding. But the Greek literally means to bring light. Paul's prayer is that our innermost being, the eyes of our innermost being, the way we see the world and ourselves and each other, that it would be enlightened, that it would shine bright, that the shadows would be extinguished, but that we would see the goodness that God has placed in us as well. For what purpose? For hope. So that we might see the hope to which God has called us. My friends, in times when the world seems like what it is, this is what we're called to. This is what we're called to. To be enlightened, to be filled with hope. So this is what we're going to try and do this morning. We're going to take some time. And what we're going to do is we are going to bathe in God's love for us. What does that mean? Often we pray about how much we love God, about how much we appreciate him, about thank you for the blessings. Those are all good and important ways to pray. But God wants us to know that before we loved him, he loved us. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite you to get into a comfortable position. All right? You might want to loosen up your shoulders a bit. We do this before choir, before we sing. Loosen your shoulders. Make sure your feet are kind of comfortable on the floor. You might want to look up. You might want to look down. That's all good. But make sure you feel comfortable. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a series of Bible passages, just verses, that tell us how much God loves us. And after each one, we are going to have 60 seconds of silence, or as silent as a church ever gets. There's going to be some children's noises, which are glorious. There's going to be some noises from our heating system, which means we're getting heat, which means they're glorious too. We might hear something go by on the street, that's okay. But in the silence as it is, I just want you to do your best to receive that God loves you exactly as and who you are. All right. I need time. Okay. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. Take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. do that again. In. And out. Hear how much God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Hear how much God loves you. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hear how much God loves you. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hear how much God loves you. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion for you. Hear how much God loves you. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. God, you love us. You love us. You love us. Thank you. Thank you for letting us bask in your love. Thank you for filling us with hope. May we see that hope spread through our families and our friends and our work. May your love spread too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This, my friends, is just one way that you can connect with God. He wants nothing more than to know you, for you in particular to know him, because he, of course, knows us already. That was 5 minutes of silence, which maybe each of us has time for. I would invite you to think about a time in your day where you could just spend being enlightened by God.